welcome to Newscast episode 68. I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, and this week we got a slightly lesser crew, but still always excellent. We've got Scott Thompson.
Hello, hello.
And we've got Andy Gergen.
What's up, y'all?
It's like a Midwest cast.
What's up?
Here, except for I'm East Coast. I'm just coming off of a hurricane that also was preceded by an earthquake. Weird things are happening in the East.
That's right.
We don't get earthquakes.
So, like, Lindy lost, is like still at power. Like, he's been out of power for like 4 days.
Yeah, Lindemann.
Yeah.
And also, I have a couple friends near me. Fortunately, my area, it's like everywhere else around got totally screwed, except for my relative area. Like,
oh, yeah?
Just like a mile radius around where I live. It's like you go a mile down, they lost power all of one day. And I know.
Is there much like property damage, or is it just like flooding and power outages?
There was a lot of flooding. Like I had work on Monday after it because it wasn't really that bad. But I would go down one road, have to turn around, come back, go down another road, have to turn around and come back, and then finally I had to like go really out of the way and like loop around,
yeah,
to get to work. But there was a lot of flooding. Like I actually, Lauren and I drove down to a Route 1 and I-95, which, you know, that's an interstate. And we just walked onto it because it was totally flooded with, like, a full flowing river.
Yep.
So that was really surreal. But they got most of the big stuff fixed. It's just that a lot of people don't have power, and they might not get power for, like, a week.
Jesus.
Oh, damn.
Did a lot of people near you evacuate?
No, because I'm about an hour and a half train ride outside of New York City, so I'm not really that close.
Oh, okay.
I do know people who did evacuate, but, I mean, like, New York City got hit hard by it, and some places don't have power, but, I mean, that's the extent of it. But actually, like, there's another highway, like, part of the road just got, like, it was by, like a river or a dam or something, and part of the road, like, fell down.
Wow.
Like, there's some serious damage that hit here. I mean, I think people are, for the most part, okay. It's just that they don't have power.
Gotcha.
And some roads are possibly permanently screwed up.
Did you do anything special the night before, thinking maybe it'd be your last night alive?
No. Well, I mean, Lauren fell asleep in the kitchen because she thought that a dead tree was going to get knocked over and crash into the house, killing us both.
Okay.
But then I woke her up, and we went and slept, and it was fine. We woke up, and it was, like, done. It was just a lot of water. Some branches fell.
wasn't even really a hurricane by the time I got to you guys. Wasn't it a tropical storm was all?
Yeah. I think it's one of those things. It's like how, like, when, like, the South United States gets hit by, like, an inch of snow, and everything shuts down.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, we get an inch of snow up here, and we're just like, so?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's like, we get this hurricane or this earthquake here and everyone freaks out. Whereas, like, if you get that earthquake over on the West Coast, they're like, ah, that's just a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get the hurricane down south, they're more prepared for it.
Well, I like, too, that online on Twitter, this became some sort of, like, dick-waving contest where it was like, you guys are like, oh, no, an earthquake. And then, like, West Coast Twitter people were like, you guys are pussies. And then, like, just, like, it felt like it just kept going back and forth. And they're just like, you call that inclement weather?
I got your inclement weather right here.
Yeah.
My thing is that, like, I've never experienced an earthquake before. So when that happened, I was just like, is it just really windy?
Right.
Like, what's going on?
It was just great. And you guys weren't, it's not like you guys are bragging about your sweet ass earthquake or hurricane. You guys are just like,
it was just weird.
It was, oh, fuck. And then, yeah, everyone else was just like, suck it up.
I do love, did anyone see the picture that circulated where it was
lawn
like
chair?
The four plastic chairs and one of them was knocked over?
Yeah.
It was like, here's all the damage that happened in D.C.
It was good.
Never forget.
Never forget, yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about video games since that's what we're all here to talk about, maybe, possibly. Either that or Doctor Who. I can never keep track these days.
Oh, man. I just made it to season 5 where Matt Smith takes over. I'm losing my mind. It's good stuff. Are there any inclement weather video games?
Disaster Day of Crisis.
Disaster Day of Crisis.
Okay.
We'll never see it.
Well, I mean, you can see it.
That's true.
I have seen it.
How about that?
Because I got the Japanese version and, you know, did bad things to my Wii to play it. But now that there was the fabled director's Wii, the Japanese Wii that is for the director of the site. I got that from Lindemann at PAX East. So now I can legitimately play Disaster without having to hack my Wii.
Very nice.
I haven't done it because I already did it. And it's just like there's a button where the guy, like, you just press it and the guy's just like, ugh, there's nothing I can do here. And, like, it's a weird game. I should write more about it or do some kind of live video thing with it. It's really goofy. That and Captain Rainbow.
Yeah, Captain Rainbow I'd love to know more about.
Yeah, I found a translation guide and probably played through, like, 50 to 70% of the game, and it's bonkers. But anyway, let's talk about games that are actually coming out in North America. And I guess first off, we have we know all of the Ambassador games, or at least the NES ones. We still have 5 Game Boy Advance games that we don't know about yet. But the NES games are out in the open. And I guess let's just go through the games one by one. By the time you hear this, you can go out and get them for free if you're an Ambassador. And if you're not an Ambassador, then you can just wait in anticipation until Nintendo releases them all so you can buy them. But let's start off Super Mario Brothers. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll always play that game just to kill a few minutes. Like, I can't think of the last time I actually played all the way through it, but this may be a good chance to redo that again. But I mean,
yeah, all these games aren't going to have the restore point feature, but you will be able to like do the virtual console save state. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that won't be so bad. I wonder, does this mean we won't see Mario Brothers DX? You think?
That would suck, because I heard DX is really good.
Well, I know, because I posted an Extra Life today, so I was going back and like looking through some old ones to like notice format and everything, and Zach wrote up, yeah, the Mario Brothers DX, and he called it like the definitive version of the game.
Yeah. So. I mean, there's a couple games that are on this list that have Game Boy versions that I don't know if they're necessarily superior, but because they are coming out on NES, does that mean we're not going to see them?
Right.
So both of you guys are a little bit younger than me. Scott, you're actually, I think, quite a bit younger than me. Did you guys?
I think Scott, you're actually older.
I was going to say, I'm right in the middle, yeah.
Are you? Okay,
yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah.
I guess I'm curious if you guys actually played this game as it was sort of a new thing, or did you play it basically from as hindsight from day one? Did you ever play the game like as it was sort of at the peak of its popularity?
For me, it was kind of impossible because what it had come out 86,
yeah.
And I was born in 88. So, right. I mean, at least as far as at the height of its popularity, it was impossible for me to play it. By the time I was aware of it and played it, like things like Super Mario Brothers 3 existed. However, the way that I experienced was that my cousin had an original Nintendo, but he wasn't really ever that into it. He kind of had like this stable of games that included stuff like Vegas Dream, Blaster Master, Silent Service. Like,
yeah.
Nothing really, like, excellent, but he did have Super Mario Brothers. Strangely enough, he didn't have Super Mario Brothers 2 or 3. So I would go over and visit my aunts and play the hell out of Super Mario Brothers with my brother and my cousin, and that's how I experienced it. So I really did kind of experience that as, like, this new hotness, even though this was probably, like, you know, like 1992, 1991, something like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way a little bit. I played it a little earlier than that, but... Yeah, I mean, I was born in 85, so it's not like I got an NES when it launched or anything like that. But I definitely remember around being, four or five years old and relatives having the NES and playing it a lot, like over holidays or when I'd go, like, stay the night at a relative's house and things like that. And, in fact, I was actually just kind of thinking the other day, I went into someone's house and their parents are smokers. So, like, you know, the house just has that smoke smell. And it, like, took me back to playing the NES because all my relatives who had it were, like, heavy smokers. And so it was weird. It was, like, because I don't know anyone now who, like, really smokes cigarettes. But, like, going into this house, it just, like, took me back. And it just was this, like, smell. It just totally reminded me of just being a kid and just playing, like, the NES and playing, like, Mario and the shitty Ninja Turtles game.
This is probably...
Well, I mean, it is funny, that kind of recall, because whenever I go to certain rooms in my aunt's, I mean, she's lived in the same house for as long as I've been alive, that's what I just think of the NES.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of, like, I still have some of the, like, I still have, like, the NES, like, game holder that my cousin had, because he eventually gave the system to me. And that's basically, that was my entry point into getting really, really into games, because I got that, and it was at the height of... Funko Land just having a lot of old games
that
you could buy very cheaply. So it'd be the kind of stuff where, like, my brother, my sister, and I would go, my mom would bring us to a Funko Land on a Saturday and be like, you can each spend $20, and we'd come back with like 20 games. It was wonderful.
This is probably going to apply to several of the games we're going to talk about with the Ambassadors Club, but I was, I think, 5 or 6. Maybe even 7 when we got the NES. We got the NES probably before most of my friends had one. I don't think it was at launch, but do you guys recall what month the NES came out?
I think it was late. was it the test market was 85 and it came out in a wide release by late 86?
I think I got it in the Christmas of 86. I got it.
Yeah, I think that would have been its first national release because I think it had in 85. I think that's when they had like the test release in like FAO Schwartz or something in like New York City.
I had played Super Mario Brothers in the arcade. They had that arcade versus machine set up at our local Godfather's Pizza, and so I had played that, and I really, really wanted this game. I grew up kind of playing video games even before that because I had a Commodore 64 probably from the time when I was like 3 or 4 years old. My dad brought it home, spent like, I don't know, a couple grand on it probably, and convinced my mom that it was a business computer. So I had already been playing video games quite a bit by the time the NES sort of took hold. We had a computer there too, like an old DOS computer back in like 80, 85, 86. So when I played Super Mario Brothers in the arcade, I knew immediately the significance of how much better it looked and played than anything else in the market. Like the leap for Mario 1 was significant. Like nothing else that I had played at that time, arcade or otherwise, looked that good, and I knew immediately that I had to have it. I don't think I realized until I had already played the game a few times that it was ever going to be a home console game. But we got the NES the Christmas of 86, and it came in that bundle that came with NES, two controllers, Zapper, Robot, Gyromite, and Duck Hunt. So it didn't even come bundled with Mario at that point. I think that was a very limited bundle because I don't really hear a lot of other people talking about that specific bundle. And then my parents bought baseball and Super Mario Brothers on the side. And like that was like the best Christmas ever. Like I vividly remember like my dad sat me down and said, "I'm going to read the instruction manual before you get to play it." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" But he read through the entire thing. And he's like, "Okay, this thing is called an NES. Here's what NES stands for. You put the game in and you press down. Don't turn the power on until you've pressed down." Like, I remember all this incredibly vividly. But yeah, wow. Mario was such a great game back then. And like, I think it holds up. I mean, it certainly doesn't play It doesn't play nearly as friendly as the later Mario games do, but it's hard. Like, that is not an easy game to play. It's probably at least as hard as the third one, I would say.
Yeah.
It can be.
I mean, definitely, that was a game I don't think I ever find. I beat it in, like, I think the first month I was in college. And actually what I did, because like an idiot, when I first went to college, I was like, I'm just going to play games on an emulator instead of bringing all my systems. I eventually brought everything, but I using save states it was more just to save my spot so I could pick it up. Not necessarily like I would die and restart the level, which is what I've been doing with a lot of the restore points on Virtual Console.
Yeah,
3DS.
Yeah, those are awesome.
But I mean, it's basically the only reason why I'm as far as I am in Gargoyle's Quest.
That's a hard game.
But, but I just would do that where I played through every single level of Super Mario Brothers because I had beaten it before, but I would, you know, go through
stages.
The warps to get the, like, you know, I'd basically be playing like 10 levels and get to the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And I went through every single level and beat that game back in my freshman year of college. And it was hard as shit.
Yeah. See, most of my experience with the game and beating the game came much later when I was probably like, I don't know, like 12 or 13. And me and my cousin, I would stay the night there like almost every weekend. And he was a couple of years older than me. And we would just drink like just insane amounts of Diet Coke. I mean, I'm only like 5'7", and it's probably because of all the Diet Coke I drank as a kid. Just those weekends, we would just drink pop like all the time. And that's all his grandma bought him was Diet Coke. So that's what we would drink like crazy. And we had this thing where we would play Mario 1, but we agreed that you just had to keep running and jumping, that like you couldn't stop to like collect items, you know, like
for more than
a second, and like you couldn't like stop and time things, like you just had to keep moving. And I mean, we just like, I mean, being all hopped up on Coke, like the soft drink, like we would just like crack up and just like we were crazy. But yeah, but that's like most of my memory of beating that game is just like rushing through it nonstop and playing every single level. Yeah, like no warping whatsoever. We had like made up our own little rule set.
I think to kind of summarize and move on to the next game, but Super Mario Brothers is the kind of game that I think we all can agree is going to be a wonderful game to have easily accessible on our 3DSs.
Yeah, I've got no complaints about that one. I don't know now that I'd really go back and play it too much, but it's like the perfect, I mean, especially if you carry your 3DS with you, it's the perfect game you can like boot up and play a level of, just like you might like play an iPhone game for a couple minutes while waiting to hop on the bus or do whatever.
And then the next game on the list is Donkey Kong Jr., which I've never played too much of, but I've often heard that it gets a lot of crap compared to the original one, and it's really not that bad of a game. I only really remember, I think that's the one that has the level based off of it. And no, never mind. the brawl level was based off of something from the original Donkey Kong.
Right.
But I would like to see a DK Jr. like 2011, kind of like Donkey Kong 94. I think that'd be pretty cool. But I've never played Donkey Kong Jr. to any kind of length.
Is DK Jr. the only game where Mario plays a villain?
I think so.
I guess, I feel like there might be another one, but I'm not sure.
But yeah, he's got Donkey Kong.
Listeners, write us in. If you can prove us wrong, let us know. Newscast.
Prove me wrong.
Report.com.
Yes. Mario typing.
Type faster.
I'm thinking maybe like Mario and Wario or something, but I'm not sure.
But DK Jr. is pretty sweet. It's a lot different than the original Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Just in so much that like you're climbing vines and you got to go between them and avoid obstacles and all that kind of stuff. It plays pretty well. I played it a lot as a kid. My friend had, I'm pretty sure this existed. I don't think I'm making this up, but a cartridge that had Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr. on it.
I think that does exist.
Yeah. He had that and we played that a lot.
I think it also had Donkey Kong 3. Wasn't that Donkey Kong Classics?
That's the one I've never played before is Donkey Kong
3. Oh, I love Donkey Kong 3. That's fun.
Is that the one with, like, Stanley, the bug man?
Yeah, you have to spray the bug spray on all the crawly things that are coming down towards you.
Yeah, Donkey Kong Jr. The next one on the list is Ice Climbers, which is another one that I can't say I've ever really played.
Ice Climbers is a game that, when it first came out, I really wanted it. Like, I think I played it on the demo unit in the stores. And I was super excited about playing that game. It was one of the only like launch NES games that I desperately wanted and never actually got.
And now you'll get it.
And now I'll get it.
Yeah, I never. This is one that totally like I missed out on as a kid and didn't know really existed until they showed up.
I don't think it holds up that well. Like I've played it a little bit and it's not that fun. It was fun back in the day, but. I'm not expecting it to hold up very well. I'll probably play it for a little bit. I think I may have had it on my e-reader back on GBA.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know I know it's nothing to write home about, but from what I've heard about it is that it's one of those games that, like, at the time it was really cool, and it's not necessarily aged that well, but you can kind of play it and be like, oh, you know, this was kind of cool. It's basically the antithesis of Urban Champion, which you just play and you're like, who the hell would have ever enjoyed this when they were a kid?
Refresh my memory, but these games we're getting at the end of this week, they're not going to have multiplayer available, right? But that will come down the road.
I think they have alternating multiplayer.
Okay.
So, like, I think for Super Mario Brothers, you could do two-player where you, you know, pass the controller off. Mm. And I think in the late, like, once they get officially released, then, like, Ice Climbers, I think you could do the two-player at the same time.
It'll have that, yeah, like, patched in, basically. Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought.
And then the next games on the list, we'll group these two together since they're pretty related. The Legend of Zelda and Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, which, I mean, The Legend of Zelda is a freaking sweet game that I would love to kind of have, you know, be able to pick it up, kind of like what I'm doing with Link's Awakening, except for I haven't picked up Link's Awakening in like a month. And Zelda 2, which is a game that I never really gave a fair shake and hopefully will now, because it's a game that I could never really get into as a kid, and now I hear all this stuff, now that I'm older, being like, hey guys, it's actually really good.
I love Zelda and Zelda 2. I've probably beaten Zelda 1 a good 10 or so times in my life, and I've probably beaten Zelda 2 a good 3 or 4 times. Both of which recently came when I did my franchise replay, you know, a couple years ago. I'm looking forward to playing. I think I may actually play Zelda the Second Quest, because I haven't played that since I was a kid, and it'll actually be challenging to try to figure out where the hell everything is at.
Yeah, I never really played either. Again, these are two games that kind of escaped me, and I never had an NES. But my same friend who had that crazy Donkey Kong like cartridge with all those three games, he played a lot of Zelda, and his parents helped him like draw out the map on grid paper, and like so I would watch him play, and I was like 6 or 7, I was just like, what the hell is this game? Like I had no idea what was going on. But yeah, it just kind of was, it just blew me away.
Yeah, I watched my friend play the original Zelda like a couple months ago, and we were totally flabbergasted as to where to go next in that game.
Oh yeah,
that's one of the things that, like, I mean, it does a very good job of, you know, just kind of putting you into this world and letting you explore it. But I wish there was just a little bit of hand holding in it. But it's not really the end of the world. Part of the joy of that game is exploring it. Although, yeah, if you could have a map, that would be cool.
Yeah, definitely. It's just a whole different era of, like, game design. You know, I just kind, like, of, you can't really go into it not prepared for that and then really enjoy the game, I don't feel like.
It's kind of like Metroid.
It is.
Yeah. A Metroid, which is another game on this. I know some people were dismayed that means pretty much that Zero Mission will not be a Game Boy Advance title because we're getting Metroid 1 here. But, yeah. I mean, Metroid 1 on NES, this is the first Metroid game I ever played, and I don't know. I actually think I beat this. I never beat the original Zelda, but I'm pretty sure I did beat Metroid when I was a kid, and that was a bitch.
I love Metroid. I actually got the itch to play through Metroid just a few weeks ago, and I put it off because I had a pretty good feeling we were going to be getting it, and so we are.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you think about it, by the end of the year in your 3DS, you'll be able to play Metroid, Metroid 2, and Metroid Fusion. So maybe Nintendo actually does care about the 25th anniversary of Samus Aran.
Or maybe it's just really easy to put these games on the 3DS. Yeah. And they know it'll make some money. Yeah. I really still hope Zero Mission comes out. I don't think I have the patience to play through Metroid NES, but I'd love to play Zero Mission. I completely missed it and played Fusion instead on the GBA, but I would love to get another chance with that.
I think Metroid,
I mean, Metroid,
it's a game you're going to have to play with a guide, I think. I mean, I can't recommend playing it any other way unless you memorized the location of everything like I did.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think it was partially that, and then as I got closer to the end, I used a guide. But, I mean, with Zelda and Metroid, this will be the kind of game that I'd likely will be using the internet browser on my 3DS when I'm sitting at home to be like, okay, that's where I have to go.
Yeah.
Next. That's actually really handy because there's been times where I've been stuck in like a Game Boy game and don't really know what to do next. And I can just pause the game, go into the internet browser, like go to game FAQs, look it up and be like, okay, that's what I have to do. And then just back out of that really easily.
And then write it into the notes app.
Yeah. I haven't done that yet.
It's a good idea in theory.
Yeah.
Just wait till you can start using the calculator in there, too. Calculate, like, boss damage and things like that. That'd be great. Right?
So helpful.
All right, and then we got Balloon Fight, which is the infamous Nintendo Joust clone, where instead of a dude on a bird, you're a dude with two balloons strapped to his back.
I have never played this game before. It's like Joust?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much like it is Joust. Just with a balloon dude. There was a Game & Watch version where I think there was like WarioWare games based off of that one where you're kind of like flapping more as opposed to flying with a balloon on your back.
No shit. Yeah. I had no idea.
I just remember the WarioWare one on Wii where you'd just be shaking your arms furiously.
Interesting. No, I've never played. This is one of the few NES launch games I never even touched.
Yeah, same here. But I think we can agree balloons are a little bit more badass than birds. So I think that's a win.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, we're looking at least a full half point.
Yeah.
And then there's Yoshi, which is a precursor to Yoshi's Cookie. It's actually developed by Game Freak, but it's a puzzle game starring Yoshi. Shortly after Mario World. So.
I was going to say, this is a super late NES game. This might be the like latest one of these 10,
I think. Open Tournament Golf might actually be later.
Really?
But it's close, because I know that one's like 90-91, and I'm going to assume this one is the same.
Yeah.
I've never played it. Yeah. Played Yoshi. I played Yoshi's Cookie before.
Yeah, I don't know if I've played Yoshi or if I'm just getting it confused with Yoshi's Cookie, because I don't think they're the same game, but they're very similar.
Yeah, they're not.
Like, but I mean, they're both puzzle games.
Exactly, they're both puzzle games, but Yoshi's Cookie is for sure the more memorable one. No one.
Yeah, and I think it's the better one.
Yeah, I think so.
And then we got one that's decidedly more interesting that I've never experienced before, but I've heard very good things about, Wrecking Crew. Have either of you guys played that?
Yeah, I don't recall what I was doing, though. I remember what the game looks like. I remember basically how it plays, but I don't remember if I had any idea when I played it if I knew what the goal of the game was.
Andy, you were either very young when you played this or very, very high. And I am not positive which it is.
I think there young.
There was a Japanese-only version of this game that came out on Super Famicom. And also, going back to Balloon Fight and Yoshi, there are also versions of those games that came out for Game Boy.
Okay.
I don't know much about those, but who knows if we'll see them. I mean, we probably will, just not anytime soon, I would imagine.
Interesting.
And then there's also a golf version of a Game Boy version of golf, and we're getting NES Open Tournament Golf, which is actually... It's not the one that initially came out on NES, which came out in 1985.
Golf.
It was like a launch game.
Yeah.
This one came out in like 1991 and has Mario as a character and like Toad runs the pro shop and stuff. It's a really good game, and it's kind of the start of those really excellent Mario golf games.
Yeah, I remember hearing good things about this.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited. I'm not usually a real big golf fan, but again, a free game that I can just randomly kind of boot up and play around with a little bit, I'm all about. But Neil, can you say tournament for me one more time?
Tournament?
Oh, I love the way you say that. You such good inflection. Like tournament. Like I don't know. You that OU. It's great. It's great.
It took me years to say Mario right. Damn it! Don't make fun of me.
No. I'm impressed. Well, how did you used to say Mario?
Mario.
Mario, that's great.
Yeah. It's the New York way to say it.
Yeah, it is. A Mario tournament.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll have to see if which of the two golf games that I'll have on my 3DS memory will entice me more. Let's Golf 3D or NES Open Golf, whatever.
Yeah, I think there might be more progression in Let's Golf 3D, which I would hope so because it's about 20 years newer.
Yeah.
I think I might be going back to NES Open Tournament Golf more than I will Let's Golf 3D.
Well, I've never played NES Open Golf, so I'm kind of curious to see how it holds up. I don't love golf games, but I really get a hankering for them every once in a while, so I really wish they just put a proper Mario Golf game on the system.
Yeah, just do Mario Golf 3DS.
Yep, that done would be and amazing. Done. I'll take two, please.
Yeah.
Probably not, actually. That's crazy.
All right, well, I hope you guys all enjoy your Ambassador games if you're getting them. We just talked about them, and we'll probably do the same thing when the Game Boy Advance ones, when we know that full list, whenever that happens.
The one thing to keep in mind about these Ambassador games is that the way you go about getting them is actually a little bit weird. They're not just going to show up on the eShop on Thursday. You actually have to go to your account settings and act like you're going to re-download a game that you've already purchased, and they'll show up in your account history. So just FYI on that one.
That's so bizarre. I wonder how many like would-be ambassadors won't even realize that they have all these free games to download.
Yeah,
I know. Like just like casual 3DS owners who aren't like keeping up to date on like Kotaku to read like a walkthrough on how to actually get these games.
I mean, hopefully they'll be able to communicate this. I mean, at least through the system too. I mean, as asinine as it is, they are going to have like some kind of video that you can download. It's like called the Ambassador Certificate.
Yeah.
That will then keep you up to date on like the Game Boy Advance games, and I would assume how to get the NES games.
When do you guys think the GBA games are going to hit?
I don't know if they're going to hit all at once, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they're like two batches or something.
Okay.
And I think we'll probably see one like, maybe we'll get some like November 1st and December 1st or like October 1st and November 1st. Like, I think that they might be, it wouldn't be the first. It would probably be whatever Thursdays. But like, you know, we'll probably get some in November. We'll probably get some in December. Maybe that'll be two groups of five. Who knows?
Why do you suppose there's a delay on this? You think they're still getting the emulation right, or they just want to space it out?
I would think it's more just to space it out.
I'm really hoping that they
More work that goes into the Game Boy Advance games anyway.
I'm really hoping that they come out before November 23rd because that's when I will lose all gaming time for a while there.
So you're going to have a Thanksgiving baby?
Yeah.
That's not bad. I was a Thanksgiving baby, November 27th.
Yeah. I'm December 1st.
Most of the time I was going to say it's awful because most of the time you're not in school, so you don't get to have, like, the fun stuff where, like, your first grade class throws you a little party, or, like, in middle school, like, yeah. everyone decorates your locker. You're kind of just forgotten about. You're like a summer baby.
Indeed.
All right, well, yeah. Let's move on to other news stories. And Nintendo released some information about games to GameStop managers at some kind of conference. The most important one from this, I guess, would be that Skyward Sword is going to have a gold Wii Remote Plus bundle. It's not actual gold. It's just painted gold. There's actually a line in the press release that clarifies this. But you're going to be able to get this golden-colored Wii Remote Plus with all these, you know, kind of Zelda doodads on it for $70 along with the game. And in that bundle, and also all regular versions of just the game, you're also going to get a soundtrack that's going to have select songs from the Zelda Symphony, which is that whole concert thing that's going on that so far is supposed to be coming to a lot of places, but is only coming to, like, L.A. and a show in London and one show in Japan.
Yeah. That'll be good. I'm looking forward to hearing that. I'm thinking I may do what I should have done for my 3DS Ocarina of Time soundtrack. Leave it sealed, download the MP3s, and eBay it 2 weeks later.
That's probably the way to go. Not to switch topics too much, but you mentioned GameStop, and I didn't know. Did you guys follow the Deus Ex GameStop stuff at all?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's definitely. GameStop's kind of shady in that regard, where they were taking out the on-live copies of Deus Ex from, like, I guess their copies that they put out on the shelf and just removing them.
Well, yeah, what it was is the PC copies of Deus Ex come with, like, a little, like, coupon, basically, for OnLive, and so the employees were asked to open the PC versions and, like, take out the coupon or the advertisement and then seal the box back up then sell it.
That's I think it was up. Definitely yeah. the wrong way to approach. I mean, I understand them not wanting to, like, promote their soon-to-be competitor, but, like, you can't open a product up, take out something, and reseal it and sell it as new. That's not the way to go about that.
Right. Yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, they could have at least followed the normal GameStop model and just knocked $5 off the price of the used game. But yeah, I don't know. It was pretty wild. And then I think even after it kind of blew up, I think then they were just ordered to take, like, all PC copies just off the shelf.
Yeah, they stopped selling them until I think they basically sent them all back to Square Enix and said, don't do that again.
They did, yeah. It's just wild. I mean,
and the crazy thing is Square Enix, like, apologized. Like, they didn't even, like, take any sort of offense to this whatsoever. They, like, were very apologetic to Square Enix or to GameStop for not giving them a heads up, I guess.
Right.
So, interesting.
Which I thought was kind of weird, too.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's because GameStop wields so much power.
Right.
I mean, just in the retailer space, because they're the only, you know, gaming-specific store that's got a nationwide grip.
I feel like they have that power by default. Like, I honestly feel that if GameStop ceased to exist tomorrow, gaming sales would not take that big of a hit because games can be bought anywhere. You can buy them at Target.
Yeah,
like, you can buy them on eBay. You can buy them on Amazon. You can buy them at Walmart. You can buy them. I mean, yeah, they do have a big share of the market, but that's just because people like to go to GameStop because they like to look at video game stuff. But, like, I don't think if it wasn't there, these things wouldn't sell.
You would have a lot less selection, and I think that would be the problem. Although then just those people that would be going to GameStop would probably just go online.
Right.
Right. There's the fact that it's a dedicated game store, and then there's the fact that they've been doing trade-ins for years and years. And while other stores like Best Buys and stuff are trying to kind of get into that now, I mean, you don't associate them with trading in your used games. It's GameStop or, like, I guess now eBay or Amazon or something like that.
I still kind of find it amazing that given all the things that GameStop is notorious for doing that are not consumer-friendly, that they're as big as they are. Like, I understand why they exist, but the whole, like, selling a used copy for only $5 cheaper and pushing pre-sales or pre-orders to the point where they are irritating the customer, not carrying new copies of day one launch games because you didn't pre-order it, even though Walmart has a stack of 50. Like, I just kind of feel like these are things that most retailers can't make choices like this and expect to survive. They're so anti-consumer. That's the problem with GameStop that I have, is that they just don't feel like a company that's at all consumer-friendly.
Yeah.
Anyway, tangent.
No, not really. But
I do
yeah.
like the looks on their faces when, like, I'll be trading in a review copy that I couldn't sell if I, you know, gave money to someone. and then they're just like, so what'd you think about this game? And it's like, I don't know. I reviewed it for this website. Go fuck yourself.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
I feel like a cocky prick, but it's like they ask me so many questions. They're like, why are you reviewing? You know, like, I can't think of it, some recent shitty game that I've reviewed. But, like, Phineas and Ferb, why'd you play that? It's like... What do you expect me to say, guy?
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah,
I've had to
trade in some shady review games before, and it's just like I just try not to make eye contact. I feel like almost dirty. Like I had to trade in. I reviewed Dirt 2 for Wii like 2 years ago. It was awful. I mean, just awful. And I had to trade it in. But I got the game like a week before it came out, and then I traded in like the day after it came out, and I think I got like $30 for it. I think, which is just like a miracle.
Remember that? That piano thing that I reviewed a couple, like a year ago or so.
Oh, yeah, Easy Piano.
Yeah, they, GameStop didn't have it in their system. They wouldn't take it. They had no idea what it was. They were like one step away from looking at me and telling me that it did not exist.
Like you made some counterfeit game to try to trick them.
Yeah. So I had to sell it on eBay. I got a decent amount of money for it, actually, I think. But yeah, I just found it funny that, like, GameStop seemed to be unable to reconcile the difference between staring at it in front of their face and it not being in their computer.
But I mean, not to hate on every GameStop, but I mean, there's ones that I've run into where, you know, they're kind of douchey, and other times where they're really nice.
I have a really good friend who manages a GameStop.
They are a corporation.
But yeah, like I don't go there. I can't think of the last time I bought a new video game at GameStop. I think it might have been Portrait of Ruin for DS. And that was only because I knew I was gonna buy it, and I wanted the pre-order. They had like a soundtrack and an art book for it.
Yeah,
right.
I get everything. I get everything I get on day one. I get from Amazon now. There's just not a whole lot of reason not to do that.
Yeah.
Anymore. Anyway.
But yeah. Speaking of video games that are coming out that I will be getting on day one, Professor Layton and the Last Spectre is coming out in North America on October 17th. And we are getting all of Professor Layton's London Life, which is this quote-unquote 100-hour RPG from Brownie Brown, the guys who made Mother 3, and I think Magical Star Sign was a DS game that I made, or that could be a different company. I could have that wrong. But this London Life RPG is something that in the Japanese version would unlock after you beat the game, and it kind of has these... It's like, I don't know that much about it, but you basically go through London, and you know, you do a lot of like kind of like, you know, tasks to help people and everything, and they're all characters from the other four Layton games, and there's a lot of content in it, and supposedly it's a really cool post-game bonus. And in the North American version, it's going to be unlocked right from the start, so you could just dive into that if you wanted to. However, in the European version, which we found this out today, that London Life will not be included at all, which sucks, but it's, you know, Nintendo of Europe got fucking Xenoblade and The Last Story and Pandora's Tower, so, like, don't cry about it too much. It's for DS. You guys can import it
easily. I don't understand why that would be. That's so great that London Life won't be released in Europe. It's like if well, we were talking about The World Ends With You, it'd be like if that never came out in Japan. Like, it's based in Japan. Like, it is so Japan. Like, how... That is so bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is,
I mean,
that is a bit
weird. I'm a huge Layton fan. I can't wait for this game, even though, you know what? The main game, it will be more of the same, but I don't care.
I've been sitting on a copy of the second Layton game for better than a year and a half now, and I still haven't bothered to play it. I don't know why. I played the first one and really enjoyed it, but the second one, I just haven't been able to convince myself to want to put time into it.
I blew through the first one, I blew through the second one, and the third one, I got pretty close to the end and then put it down, but then I was on a plane ride like a couple weeks after it came out, and then I picked it up and finished it, and like I almost cried at the ending of the third one. It's like the story's that good in the third one.
Nice.
Wow.
It's kind of absurd, like, how well that game, like, in the first one, like, the story's just kind of goofy.
Yeah.
And in the second one, it's ridiculous. And in the third one, it's so present throughout it. Like, you can really tell that just, you know, level 5 learned how to tell a story in this context from the first one to the third one.
I'm just imagining that, like, the professor's solving puzzles to, like, get Luke out of like a box that's filling up with water and he nearly drowns to death or something, and then they like embrace at the end. Like, you're like, that's what I'm imagining. Like,
well,
they're...
I mean, this doesn't really, I mean, it doesn't hint at, you know, how touching the story is, but there is a moment, and there is a puzzle that you solve where it's like Professor Layton's like getting shot at by gangsters and he's with because it's the whole time travel thing, and there's like future Luke, and I think he's with future Luke and past Luke, and he has to solve a puzzle of how to build a gun out of a slot machine, and then he builds this and then shoots the slot, it shoots the, you know, like coins, and fires off the slot machine at the gangsters, who are just like, oh shit, he's got a gun, even though they have guns with the bullets. And then they just run away. But it's filled with moments like that. And I mean, the third one, really, the more I think back at it, like, that's the story that sticks with me. And I don't think the fourth one, from what I've heard, it's like, the story's not as good as that one, but I'm still looking forward to it because I just really enjoy those games.
Right. The puzzles are what do it. I mean, I love like brain teasers and kind of like math puzzles like that. So, I played the first one all the way through, and I think I played about half of the second one before kind of burning out on it.
The second one definitely has a, like, there's a hump in the middle that you kind of need to force yourself over. And then I mean, because that's what you need, the story to be attractive enough that you want to keep on going through the puzzles.
Exactly.
And I'd say that, like, you know, each game did that for me, although, the, you know, there were times in each where it's just like, oh, we're just going through the motions, Lighten.
I know you said you don't know too much about London Life. Are there puzzles at all in that, then? Or is it just, like, traditional RPG? Like,
I'll be completely honest, because it's one of those things that, like, I didn't want to get too hyped up for, because I'm being a little pessimistic, and I think I have reason to, given Nintendo of America lately, I just didn't think it was going to come over. So when I first heard about it, I'm like, that's super cool. And then I just kind of gave up on it. Yeah. So I will likely find out more about it as soon as I can. And I would imagine that as we get closer to its release, hopefully Nintendo will invite Aaron Kalutzka over to check it out before it comes out. Yeah. I imagine they would. They've been he is on the invite list, and that's why we've had great coverage of the Kirby games.
Yeah, well, if this has like a tenth of the charm of Mother 3, then I'm sold.
Yeah, I think it'll be really cool. And if you're one of those people that hasn't really been able, you know, played the first Layton and kind of enjoyed it, but maybe London Life will be the kind of you know, the change of pace that you need.
Yeah. Totally.
Excellent. Sounds good.
And then the other news that came out of this GameStop thing was Tetris Axes is being published by Nintendo. It was actually supposed to be published by Tetris Online when it was first announced. I guess it was on that 3DS list back at E3 2010, and was developed by Hudson. And then Tetris Online announced it right before E3, and it was playable at E3. I didn't get a chance to check it out, but from everything that I've heard, it's I mean, not necessarily like Tetris DS, but it's still, you know, a really solid Tetris game that's going to have, you know, 3D mode, spot pass, and all kinds of crazy stuff, which will be kind of cool.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I didn't even really know too much about this game until I saw the press release with the release date. But it looks pretty neat. I mean, I just love Tetris DS so much. I just want it to be like that.
Yeah, I love that game.
We'll find out more about the modes, and I think if you poke around on NintendoReport.com and go check out our impressions on it, you'll probably find out some of the modes. I know we have some video from it from E3, and maybe even from Gamescom. It looks like it's going to be a pretty full-featured game, and I think there's there's online, and there's also single card multiplayer, so it's hitting the bullet points. It's nice. It's got what a Tetris game on 3DS needs.
Yeah.
Except for it's going to be, you know, fucking $40.
That's all right. I'll pay it.
And we have two new 3DS game announcements. The first one is Roller Coaster Tycoon, which is being published by Atari and is being developed by Nspace. And WWE All-Stars 3DS, which is a 3D enhanced port of the Wii game that Andy reviewed back in March.
Has it been so long already?
This is one of those games that like compiles like the best wrestlers from like all time, right?
Yeah, it's sort of like the NBA Jam of wrestling video games, because it's over over the top, and it features wrestlers from all over the place. And I think the entire premise of the game is, what if the the crazy wrestler from nowadays wrestled the crazy wrestler from like the 80s or 90s, or what if the big wrestler from today wrestled the big wrestler of yesterday, and stuff like that. Like the entire predication, like the entire progression of the game is largely based on going through these like fantasy matches of like, what happens if Roddy Piper fights this wrestler from today that you've never heard of, or what happens if John Cena battles Hulk Hogan, that kind of stuff. Actually, that probably could happen now that I think about it. I think Hulk Hogan still thinks he's a wrestler. But
right.
It's a lot of fun. I think the only problem I had with the Wii game, aside from the fact that it didn't have any of the DLC or online components of its contemporaries, was that, well, first of all, it was incredibly easy. I had no problem winning every match that I fought, even on the hardest difficulty. But secondly, I didn't think it went far enough with the over-the-top stuff. I think it largely, like, the over-the-top stuff was, like, reduced to some of the animations, but the gameplay itself felt more or less like a dumbed-down version. Like a not dumbed-down enough version of the existing wrestling franchise that they already had. But it's still a lot of fun. I really liked it. I'm looking forward to reviewing the 3DS one. I kind of hope they can keep the essence of the game more or less the same, and it should be a good time. I think it's a good fit for the 3DS. It's one of those games that I don't get the urge to play that often. I kind of wish I could just install it on the system so that when the urge hits, I got it. But yeah, it should be fun. I'm curious because the Wii version had plenty of video. Like the entire thing, like the best part of the game was watching all the prepackaged video segments. I wonder if they're going to find a way to do that on the 3DS.
Well, yeah, they'll probably have to trim it down, or it'll be like super condensed.
Well, I mean, if you do think about that Tekken game that's coming out 3DS, I think early 2012, is going to include an entire 3D movie.
Okay.
So I guess it's possible.
There's probably at least 40 minutes to an hour's worth of video content in the Wii version of that game.
Yeah. I mean, they could always present it in 2D as well, and that would probably save space if they can't compress it enough.
Yeah, probably.
But I guess we may as well just mention Roller Coaster Tycoon. I haven't really played that game. Like, I think I played the original whenever it came out with a friend back in, like, middle school. That's how long ago it's been since I've played it. And I remember having a lot of fun with it. And from what I hear, like, how we were talking about how WWE All-Stars is kind of like, you know, all these different great wrestlers coming into one game. I think Roller Coaster Tycoon is kind of all these different parts of Roller Coaster Tycoon coming into one game, and it's going to be in 3D. So if you're into that sort of thing, it could be really cool. And as someone who has previously had a predilection for that sort of thing, it might be a game that I could get into, and it's coming out in early 2012.
That should be fun. I played a lot of the second one in college. I tried the third one and kind of decided by the time the third one came out, I was kind of over my interest. But it's fun. I mean, it's kind of cool. I wonder if they'll let you ride your roller coasters in 3D, because that was sort of a big part
of
the third
really
one.
That would be really cool.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I think one
is
of the,
it is it just me, or does this feel like a game that should just be downloadable though?
It depends.
I think it
depends
on how much content's in it.
Yeah, because the game had a lot of stuff you could put into your park. One of the things I really enjoyed about the computer version was like the music. Like whenever you put a ride in, you can assign music to it. So depending on where you're at on the screen, you'll hear all these different like theme park sort of songs playing kind of over each other, which makes for a really cool, like, it makes you feel like you're actually at a theme park. Plus you hear all like the screams from the coasters, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's a really good sandbox game. It's kind of like The Sims in that I don't know anyone who ever actually played it trying to progress through the story or anything. It's just use the cheat code, give me all the money I want, and then go from there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, let's finish off this episode by talking about Gargoyle's Quest, which was last week's virtual console game on the 3DS. We also got the Ignition Factor on 3DS, which is apparently this kind of cool firefighting adventure game.
That was Wii,
Well,
wasn't it?
That was on Wii. That was virtual console on Wii, the Ignition Factor, which I just feel we should mention, even though I haven't played it. We should have a recommendation up by Carmine Red going up soon, along with a recommendation for Gargoyle's Quest, which I did not write the recommendation, but I can say it's a very fine game. It's kind of like an action RPG, sort of, that I guess you could kind of compare it to Zelda 2. I kind of feel like the RPG elements blow, but the actual, like, platforming, it's you know, the side-scrolling platformer, that's kind of awesome, albeit very hard.
Yeah, like, I downloaded this game, and I actually had a lot of trouble getting through the first side-scrolling part. I guess I didn't quite catch at first that it was a spin-off of Ghosts and Goblins, but the music kind of took me there right away, and I wondered if it was. And then I reset the game and found the title screen, and sure enough, it says Gargoyle's Quest, Ghosts and Goblins, which is a game that I played on NES a lot, which is, of course, the precursor to Ghouls and Ghosts, which is the notoriously difficult Super NES game.
But yeah.
It's fun. Like, I'm not
it's no
quite
shock
sure.
That it's hard.
I'm not quite sure about the RPG elements, but the side-scrolling elements are a lot of fun.
Yeah, the RPG elements, really, it's slow and super, super dated. I think it would have been cool if I played this in, like, 1991.
Yeah.
But in 2011, it's assy, but luckily the side-scrolling bits are superb.
Excellent, yeah. I'm having fun with it. I haven't played it too much yet, but I put maybe, like, a half an hour into it. It's fun.
Yeah, I think I'm, like, 3 hours into it. I'm pretty sure I'm near the end, although I've not restrained myself from using the restore points as much as possible because that game is hard as balls at times.
When I first heard the title of this game, I just assumed it was a licensed game based off the Gargoyles cartoon.
Oh, that would be awesome if it was.
I don't know why I assumed that's what it would be. It doesn't make any sense, but that's what popped into my head.
But yeah, I would say if you're looking for a game to play on 3DS, this is a worthwhile catch. It's a hidden gem, in all honesty.
That's kind of the whole point of the Virtual Console, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that we've had a couple attempts that are close to hidden gems, like Avenging Spirit and Fortified Zone, but this is a legitimate one, so go check it out, guys.
Very good.
Yeah, and that would be a newscast. You can review us on iTunes, which would be pretty rad, or you can email us at newscast@NintendoWorldReport.com, or follow us on Twitter. I would say follow the Newscast Twitter, but we don't update that shit. So just follow our individual Twitters. I am at NRON10 or Enron10, a pun that I've been using as my net handle for the past decade.
Yeah, I'm OK Soda, a name I've been using for years based off the soft drink. And
yay.
A song.
I love that soft drink. Someday you and I are going to have to sit and actually talk about our experiences with OK Soda, because I am always amazed whenever I find anyone else who's ever heard of it, because it was a test market thing. I don't think that many cities had it.
Right, but, yeah, and I feel like it was kind of just a Midwest thing.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah,
that sounds about right.
I definitely had it. You said you called, like, I know there was like a hotline you could call, and you said you called it a lot. I just remember drinking the soda.
1-800, I feel okay. It was, for those of you who aren't familiar with this, just a little bit of a tangent. OK Soda was a alternative soft drink put out by the Coca-Cola Company in like 93 to like 96, maybe. It was only like, and I think I've read 20, but it may even be fewer than that. Test markets throughout the U.S. during that time. It had a very citrusy kind of flavor, and the whole like premise of the marketing campaign behind this thing was they were trying to market to like the Generation X crowd by like just sort of having all these kind of like sardonic, or maybe sardonic is the wrong word, sarcastic slogans where they didn't even really like try to sell the soda as being good. It was just okay, and like, but not only was it okay, it was like sort of magical too, like. Everything was going to be okay if you drank the soda, and they had all these like weird coincidences where someone would drink an okay soda and be able to balance not only a spoon but also a fork and knife on their nose. And they had this like toll-free number you could call where they would just have all these completely random things like press 1 for okay soda coincidences, press 2 for random bird calls. Like, and they would just go all the way to 10. Like, it was just the weirdest goddamn thing, which, of course, appeals directly to, like, a middle schooler, which was me. So we called the number all the time. You can still find a little bit of information about it online, but considering it wasn't widely available, it's actually kind of hard to find much of anything about it anymore.
Right.
But
there's also, to bring it, like, kind of full circle back to Twitter, there's an OK Soda bot. It's so like my handle's OK Soda, and then this thing is OK Soda bot, and it found me because of my name. But if you tweet okay soda the words, it'll tweet you back and say something like whatever you say, it'll retweet you back and be like, well, that just sounds okay, and like just stuff like that.
Excellent.
And it's pretty great.
I remember when I was playing Wind Waker, there was a like the, I forget what they're called, but like the fish that paint your map.
Yeah, the
okay
a,
yeah yeah
shmeh.
Yeah, yeah, where it would retweet you and just go shmeh.
Oh, nice.
like, because when I was playing Wind Waker, I tweeted about it, and I just get all these things from Shmeh.
Awesome.
And then there's a Virtual Boy one out there too, where when I wrote my my feature for 1UP, of course I posted it to Twitter, and then I just got into an argument with a Virtual Boy Twitter that's just like, oh, you hate me? I'm like, nah, man, I don't hate you. I just got one of you this summer. It was great. Virtual Boy, man, don't hate. And now I'm on like I'm on a list that the Virtual Boy created that's of people that hate me.
Nice.
You can follow that list. I think there might be a lot of people on it.
Probably.
Nice. Oh, and I'm at DrewMG, but I'm locked down like a paranoid madman. Go ahead and add me. I'll probably approve you. But
yeah, well, he has to go private because Andy tweets some dirty shit. He can't have his employer see that. I mean, Andy gets raw on Twitter.
Yeah,
it's not that I say anything that I'm ashamed of. It's just that I don't feel like employers knowing how often I post on there. Like
while at work.
Yeah. Why is Andy posting on Twitter 17 times a day between the hours of 7 and 3? Huh. That's
odd.
Could
that be a coincidence?
Especially considering Twitter is blocked at work. He must really try hard to do that. Yeah. I think I used to be very open with my internet like postings and whatnot, and about 2 years ago it finally dawned on me that the internet is forever. I thought maybe I should be a little more conservative with how much I put myself out there.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have, like, having been on the internet and posting shit on forums for the better part of a decade and a half by this point, almost two decades, it feels like. Maybe not quite 2 decades, but, yeah. I'm not really happy with the amount of shit that's out there with my name attached to it, so I've made a concerted effort over the past few years to sort of try to trim that down when possible.
I'm pretty lucky I don't have to worry about that at all, because if anyone searches Scott Thompson, they just get the dude from Kids in the Hall.
Yeah.
Who, if anyone doesn't know, is just this gay comedian. So, like, you will just get a million things with him before you would ever get anything from me.
Yeah.
And Scott Thompson is also the birth name of Carrot Top. So you're not going to find me. It's not going to happen.
Excellent. That's a good thing. That's a life skill that you didn't even have to earn.
I know.
All right, that's a newscast, guys.
Yeah. All right, see you guys next time.
Anything else? All right, we'll see you next time. Bye.